if you join us online each week, you'll know that today we're at week number 2 of our new series called Inside Out. This title is borrowed from the fantastic Disney Pixar movie that is a great depiction of what often happens inside our heads. Sometimes we avoid emotions and we suppress feelings, especially the more negative ones, because it can be hard to navigate the way we feel. Instead, we want to embrace our emotions in Christ-like ways. We believe that God has given each of us the capacity to feel deeply, and when we can better process our emotions, we can better understand how He'll use them for His good. So last week, Kylie shared with us what it might look like to embrace feelings of sadness, how important it is, like Jesus did, not to suppress that feeling, but to work through it, to process it, and not to be afraid of it, and to move forward through it. And today, we might take a look at another emotion that we might be tempted to label as bad, and yet we see it too in the character of Jesus. Maybe you can guess by my face. Was it scary? That was my angry face. Today we're focusing on anger, how it makes us feel, why we should pay attention to it, and how we can channel it in healthy ways. So this morning I want to read to you from James chapter 1 verses 19 to 20, and it says this: "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and all evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." You know, I always think it's funny how our preaching plan tends to work out. Generally, we plan it months in advance. We split up the weeks depending on who's here and what's going on with each of us. Mostly the topics and the scriptures that we land on are based on timing rather than expertise or things that either of us really want to preach on. But sometimes I think it's just funny how it works out, because today I think it's a little bit funny that I'm the one that's preaching on being slow to anger. Because really, if I'm being honest with you, I'm a bit of a rager. A lot of the time, I'm probably the opposite of a person who is slow to anger. Things get on my nerves quickly. People get on my nerves quickly. I often have a low tolerance for people who, in my opinion, do dumb stuff. I often feel myself getting angry and having a rage over something that's happened, and more often than not, it's because I haven't taken the time to listen or to understand the situation from someone else's perspective. Can anyone identify with me today? Anyone else a little bit quick to anger? What about this situation? Let me paint you a bit of a picture. I'm sure this has never happened in anyone else's house, but when I was a teenager living at home with my family, I reckoned it happened at least once a week in mine. So you know when you can't find something in your house that you really want to wear, but you are sure you put it in the laundry like 4 weeks ago? The conversation goes a little bit like this: "Mom, have you seen my jeans? Yeah, I think they've been washed. Check your basket." So I would take a quick look, can't find them in the basket in my room, and I move on to searching through the washing basket. And eventually I'm like, "Mom, are you sure you haven't seen my jeans?" And she says, "Well, I don't really know." Ugh. And so my rage level goes from about 4 to 100 as I'm trying to find the clothes that I need. You know what I'm talking about, right? Pulling stuff out of the washing basket, chucking people's clothes around the laundry, still no jeans. And somehow these phrases erupt out of me like, why does nothing ever get washed in this house? Why do I even bother putting things in the washing basket? How hard is it? And then my mom, of course, pulls out the big guns and says, "Well, you know how to solve that. You can do all your own washing from now on." So I'd be like, "Fine." And she'd be like, "Fine." And I would storm off in a fit of rage. Then usually what would happen in this situation is that I would walk out about 10 minutes later wearing the lost pair of jeans. And my mum would say, as if she didn't already know the answer, "Well, where did you find those?" And I'd reply in a sort of muffled undertone, you know, "In my room." "What was that?" "In my room. I'm sorry. I love you. Please don't stop washing my clothes." Sound familiar? Sometimes I'm so quick to get angry and to blame someone else for something. And I know that that's just a silly example, but how often are we quick to get angry like that? The exact opposite of what James is trying to tell us to do. And you might think, "Well, I'm human and it's in my nature to get angry when something doesn't go my way or someone does something I don't like." But James warns us that this type of anger, It doesn't produce the type of righteousness that God desires. Anger that blames, anger that hurts people. But you know, James is real about it too, and I think I like that most about his writing, because he knows it's not just as simple for us to switch off our sinful human nature when we become Christians. James knows that for many of us, there is this constant battle between the two natures that are within us. So I like in this passage, if you've got your Bible there, have a look. It says, take note of this. You know, you're going to want to write this one down because I think you're going to forget about it easily. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He's telling us to be slow to anger because I think that he knows it's in our human nature to be quick, to be reactive when things don't go our way. He's calling us instead to be quick to listen, because he knows so often we are much quicker to speak, to defend, to make a little attempt at understanding. So I found along this journey that being quick to listen and slow to speak generally enables me to be slow to anger. It's obvious why, isn't it? Listening to people rather than reacting, actually thinking about a response rather than blurting out the first thing that comes to mind, it helps us to understand and formulate a response that's respectful and helps us to process things in a manner that is much more like Christ. You know, it takes a lot of discipline and self-control. It's one of those things that it's so easy for us to know, but so much harder for us to do. But ultimately, it's what we're called to do. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and by doing that, slow to become angry. Now, just to be clear, being slow to speak doesn't mean that we never speak. Being slow to anger doesn't mean that we'll never get angry. I don't know about you, but when I read these verses and I move on to verse 20 that says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, I'm kind of intrigued. It makes me wonder, well, what type of anger does produce the righteousness God desires? Is there a type of righteous anger? Let's face it, there is a lot of anger in our world at the moment. People are angry about their so-called lack of freedom. People are angry at those who protest about their lack of freedom. People are angry with governments, with structures. People are angry about racism, the environment, the economy. There is so much anger in our world, and most of all, so much anger inside of people. And a lot of people like to justify their anger by calling it righteous. Lots of people point to that example of Jesus in the story that Iwe read for us earlier, going nuts in the temple courts. Lots of Christians use this passage from Matthew 21 to justify their anger against people. But here's the thing we need to take note of in this passage. In this passage, in this story, Jesus flips tables, not people. See, Jesus was entering into Jerusalem right before Passover. And he walked up to the temple, and what he saw broke his heart. It made him righteously angry. He saw greed, he saw hypocrisy, abuse, he saw this misuse of his father's house. So Jesus did something a bit out of the ordinary for Jesus. In his righteous anger, not a sinful anger, but in his righteous anger, Jesus turned over a table. See, Jesus' anger here is about an issue. He doesn't intentionally hurt people in the process of getting his point across. His anger is justified. It's righteous. It's about correcting an obvious wrong in his world. See, this kind of anger, the kind of anger that challenges wrongdoing, the kind that produces something good, can be challenged. Pastor Bill Hybels coined the phrase a long time ago, holy discontent. Some of you might have heard of it before. It's this God-given righteous indignation. It's when you convert this frustration, this anger, into fuel for change and for action. See, we can use this kind of anger for good. I wonder today what injustices you see in the world that make you angry, that sort of stir something up deep within you. For me, I feel angry about the treatment of asylum seekers and refugees. Now, I can sit on that anger, I can be frustrated, filled with rage, or I can allow this feeling, this stirring inside of me, to compel me to do something about it, to research, to advocate, to welcome. I want to encourage you this week. Think about some of those things in our world that make you angry, that stir up that deep, holy discontent. Don't just sit on it. Don't just let it fester away, but pay attention to it and do something about it. See, righteous anger is different to human anger. And of course, it would be great if all the feelings of anger that we experience could be channeled in that way, but the reality is they can't. We experience human anger because we're human. Jesus didn't sin in his anger. He was perfect. He was without sin. But we can't justify all our anger as being righteous. Sometimes we just experience human anger, and that's okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27 tell us this. They say, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Do not let the sun go down when you're still angry, and do not get the devil a foothold. You know, I like this verse because it implies that we will get angry. It's not saying if you happen to get angry, don't sin. It says in your anger, when you get angry, don't let it lead you towards sin. Kind of makes me feel better because it tells me that it's not a sin to be angry, but it can very quickly lead us down a path of destruction if we allow our anger to control us. You know, anger that leads to abuse, to hate, to control, it's not okay. We can't let our anger steer us on a path into sin. The scripture says, "Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." That word in Greek, foothold, it means a place or a portion of space. In other words, don't give the devil room in your house. Don't leave the door open and let him in. When anger stays in our hearts and in our minds, it lingers there and it opens up space for the devil to have access. Don't let the devil have a foothold in your life. Don't even give him an inch. Don't let your anger take you to a place that you're going to regret. So in order to do that, to keep check on our anger, we have to learn to discern the message of our anger. Most often these strong emotions that we experience, they're there to tell us something. And if something makes you feel angry, generally there's a reason. And we should take the time to identify that, to discern the message of our anger. Coming back to the passage we looked at earlier from James, maybe that's why we're encouraged to be slow to anger, so that we have time to process, so that we don't react in ways that give the devil a foothold, so that we can distinguish between our own human anger and righteous anger. If, like me, at times you struggle with the example that James gives, you struggle to be slow to anger, I want to give you three tips, three practical things that I think might help us in being slow to anger. The first one is this: always think and pray before you speak. Take a moment to pause and to reflect when anger surfaces. And then the second thing we can do when we feel anger bottling up is to ask ourselves why. What is it that's causing me to feel this way? Is there a reason? Is there something that I've done that someone else has done? Why do I feel this way? And the third thing is to speak to someone you trust before you act. Often there's been times in my life when I've been so angry about something, but when I've spoken to someone who I trust, whose opinion I value, I realize that maybe that anger was about me and my human anger, perhaps not a righteous anger inside of me. Being angry is not a sin. And the more we learn to distinguish between our human anger and righteous anger, the better we will understand how we can use this emotion for good. Today, it's my prayer that you would let go of any anger that is stored up in your heart that might lead you down that path of sin. And that we would all be people that learn to process our human anger in healthy ways that help us to understand not only more about ourselves, but more about what God is calling us to change in our world. Don't suppress your anger. Let it drive you to something greater.